people seek the truth. Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
I once heard this amazing story about this guy who was very well versed in the scriptures, and he knew his Bible very well. And he was on a plane, and he was reading his Bible, and somebody was sitting next to him. And the person next to him said, "How do you know that's true?" And the fellow who knew the Bible very well started to turn other pages to explain to the lady how he knew it was true, teaching according to the scriptures. He didn't know who this lady was. But what happened was the lady stopped him from turning the pages and says, "No, I don't want to hear from a book. I want to hear how do you know this was true." And this person didn't know what to do because he was so used to teaching about the Bible from the Bible. He didn't know what to do. So he told the lady, "Excuse me, I'll be right back." He went to the bathroom on the plane and he prayed to God and he said, "What should I tell this lady? What's the best way I could let her know that the word is true?" And God spoke to him and said, "Share your testimony." That's it. Two words. Share your testimony. So he went back, he closed his Bible, and he told the lady, "The answer to your question is how do you know, or how do I know this is true? Because," and then he went into his testimony. Our life is the first sermon people should hear out of our mouths. Our testimony is what's going to speak to people who don't believe more than scriptural verses will. There are many people that will never attend a Bible study, and many will never read scriptures. But they will read our lives every single day. Not only our story from the past, but our current story. The people that know us from the past will see how we're transformed. And the people that know us now, that didn't know us in the past, will see how we're set apart. Long before people listen to a message, they watch our conduct. The question is not simply, do I know the gospel? The question is, can people see the gospel in me? Our character either opens doors for the message or it creates obstacles. Matthew 15:13-16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if your salt loses flavor, with what shall it be salted? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before man, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Folks, Yeshua did not only tell us to speak the truth. He told us to live in such a way that we would glorify our Father. Notice that people are to see our good works, our actions to support our words. This is something that we need to be aware of. People are watching us even when we don't think they're watching. We want to glorify Him in every way. When I speak to people, and I'm with, let's say, another person, if the question ever comes up in my mind or that other mind is, was that person we just spoke to a believer? Were they a Christian? That's the worst thing as a believer I want people to walk away asking. I want them to know that person's set apart. Something is different about him. Even if they don't know it's exactly, they can't put their finger on it. But the first thing they should do is, set apart means different from the world. He's not the same as other people. That's the first thing you want people to notice. And then as you get into it more, one of the greatest things I ever heard from Billy Graham's autobiography was when I read it is, he never has a conversation with somebody for more than 10 minutes without mentioning the name or something to do about Yeshua, the one they called Jesus. Folks, if you've had a conversation with anybody for more than 10 minutes and they do not know that you believe in the Bible, you don't have to go out there preaching and yelling and screaming. But if you're having a conversation, you're having a conversation with them. Those people that know me personally, they might not even realize this, but I'm sure some of them do. I always, somehow, some way, bring up the scriptures, talk about Yeshua or something. No matter what the topic is, even when I go out and I have health messages, I have shirts that say something about the scriptures, or I might give a reference to a Bible verse that has to do something with what I'm talking about. Something. Not only does it help them know where I stand, but their reaction is going to help me know where they stand, and it's going to help me present a better message to them. Remember, a big part of communication is not just the words we're speaking. A big part of communication is the actions we're living. Communication is more action than it is actually verbal. But we want to verbally and physically show that we are different. And we can do that. Humility and kindness versus pride and arrogance. People realize the difference, folks. Ask yourself this. Do your neighbors describe you as a kind person? Not that that means you're a believer, because there's some believers that are not kind. Would your co-workers say you're honest? Well, there are a lot of honest people in the world, but still, you don't want them to think you're rude and you're a liar. Would people disagree with you still respect your character? This is the question we need to ask. I mean, I've been asking my life, just in general, to watch my friends' children. I think that's one of the highest compliments I can get, to know that I'm living in a way that Yeshua wants me to live. So much so where people would trust me with their most valuable thing, their children. Wow. So ponder these things. You know, our family and our neighbors. You know, a mission field doesn't have to be to go to some other country and spread the gospel or even to be a missionary. Sometimes we think missions require traveling across the world. Yet Yeshua had already placed people around us. Our neighbors, our co-workers, even the cashier at the grocery store, the mechanic, the mail carrier, the waitress at the restaurant. Yahweh has surrounded us with people who need his love. That's what we need to grasp. We all know the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, 25 to 37. But wanting to vindict himself, the Torah lawyer said to Yeshua, "And who is my neighbor?" Yeshua replied, "A man is going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him, and they went away, leaving him for half dead. By a chance, a Kohen was going down the road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite also came into the place, and when he saw him, he passed on the opposite side. But a Samaritan who was traveling came up upon him, and when he noticed the man, he felt compassion. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will return and repay you.'" Which of these three seems to you to have become a neighbor to the man fallen among the robbers? He said, "The one who showed mercy towards him." Then Yeshua said, "Go and do the same." Notice what made the Sumerian different. It wasn't his knowledge. It was his compassion. Religion passed by and mercy stopped to help. Sometimes we become so busy doing religious things, we overlook opportunities to love people. Never, this is a warning to everyone listening right now, never, and I say never, let ministry become more important than loving those that our Creator has planted in front of you. That is, if you can remember anything, remember that. We have so many opportunities. I often ask, how many people did you tell today that Yeshua died for them or he loves you? How many people? Doesn't mean you need to be preaching on the corner, but just in your daily conversations or on the internet or when you post or something. How many people did you share a scripture with or let somebody know? Every conversation should reflect a wonderful Messiah. Our words matter. People remember how we make them feel. We may forget conversations. As believers, we should leave an everlasting impression on somebody that even if they don't remember what the conversation exactly was, they remember the feeling they went away with. And finally, ask yourself, if every conversation ended with me sharing the gospel, my words will have something to do with one day making this person believe more. Believe more. Come closer to the truth. Encourage those who already believe. Proverbs is another word for wisdom. And in Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, an gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word sits in anger. Gentleness doesn't mean weakness, folks. Gentleness is strength under our Creator's control. The world expects anger and revenge and harsh words. Even if somebody comes up against you and you say, may Yeshua bless you, and they say, I don't believe in that, and they come up to you with an angry tone. Dispense that fire. Kind words. Followers of Messiah are expected and should reply different than the expected worldly reply. James 1, verses 19 to 20 says, know this, my dear brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to listen and slow to speak, and slow to anger, for human anger does not produce the righteousness of Yahweh. Three commands. Go to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Imagine how many conflicts, whether they're minor conflicts between two people, or even worldly conflicts, could be avoided if people just obeyed these three commands. We need to represent Messiah everywhere we go. And this is what I think about. How can I do this today? Or what I look forward to this. What opportunities is my Creator going to give me today? Because I didn't always do this. And if I never miss it, I don't feel good about missing that opportunity. There's no such thing as a private believer. Driving, shopping, working, standing in line, traveling. We represent Yeshua. People may never know our name, but they should see something different about our attitude. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:12 says, keep your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Then while they speak against you as evildoers, they may, from observing your good deeds, glorify Yahweh in a day of visitation. Our testimonial is built over time. One act of kindness, one act of patience, one act of honesty, one act of forgiveness. Yahweh uses consistent faithfulness to draw people to Him. Loving difficult people is one of the greatest signs of a mature believer. It is easy to love people who appreciate you, but it's much harder to love those who criticize you. Yet, that is exactly what our wonderful Messiah Yeshua calls us to do. So, think about that. Those that create the toughest challenge, think about that. Matthew 5:43-48 says, "You have heard that it was said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even tax collectors do the same, don't they? And if you greet only your brother, what more are you doing than others? Even the Gentiles do the same, don't they? Therefore, be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." Loving enemies does not mean approving of their sin and agreeing with it. It means refusing to allow hatred to control our hearts. Instead of getting upset or getting in arguments or having bitterness towards people that mistreat you, instead pray for them. Bless those who oppose you. Leave the justice to our Creator's hands. When we respond this way, we reflect Yeshua. We show them something different. This is a way we're called to walk. To be a consistent witness. Not just one day we're doing this and another day we're changing. But every time, because we don't know who's watching us. But that's not even the way we want to do it. We just want to become so transformed that this just becomes who we are. Yes, we acknowledge and realize every opportunity is an opportunity that our Creator put in front of us. Whether it's that man standing at the light asking for money, or the cashier at the store, whoever it is, we must consistently show them who we are and our character as believers and followers of Yeshua. But it must be consistent. It can't just be an on and off day. One of the worst things you could do is to one day be one way and the other day be the other day as a witness, because people are just going to say that was a show or that was an act. If you're consistent at not being a nice person, people will know immediately who you are and how you are. And then when you become close to Yeshua and they see the difference, they're going to see the transformation. But if you're changing back from day to day, they're going to see the act that it is. Anyone can be kind for a day or patient during a conversation. The challenge is remaining faithful year after year, consistently. That's what makes a testimonial even more powerful. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not give up." We are called not to be discouraged, to be joyful. Continue loving and serving, forgiving and showing mercy. Because not only are people seeing this, but Yahweh sees this. Nothing done for him is wasted. He's watching over us. But again, we shouldn't be doing this to please him or please people. We should be doing this because it's developed a character in this where this is just who we are. I don't have to try to be kind or humble. I'm kind and humble. You don't want to have to try to be impressive to somebody so they're impressed by you. No, just be an impressive person. You don't have to act set apart. Be set apart. The character inside you, the transformation inside you, is what's going to let you communicate this and be consistent at it. So as much as you're called to be different and set apart, it's not something you have to try to do. It's something if you put it in a daily practice, it happens. You know, we learn the habits, good, bad habits, by continuously doing them over and over again. So it's not just what we say, but our witness or our testimony is who we have become. You know, the spiritual growth doesn't end at a certain age, and if you think it does, you got a lot more to learn. But it's a lifelong journey. The closer we are to our Creator, the more we are aware that we still need to change. In the scriptures, Paul planted congregations, preached the gospel throughout the Roman world, and suffered greatly for Messiah. Yet he still desired to grow. A mature believer never stops pursuing to be like Messiah. Philippians 3 verses 12 to 14 says, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on, if only to take hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and striving towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal, reward of the upward calling of Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah." Paul refused to become complacent. And that's what spiritual maturity requires. It's continuous growth. You're continually growing. So yesterday is a different day than today, and we got to continuously seek to move forward. Yesterday's victories do not replace today's obedience. Ask our Creator regularly, "What do you want to change in me next?" Ask Him that. Every believer must come to the realization of this message here. We want to grow spiritually. And if you fall, don't stop and quit. The enemy wants you to not be successful at this. He wants you to fail. Get up. Every believer have moments of weakness. You may have a moment where you lose your patience. That doesn't stop your consistency. If you lose your patience once, or you have an issue where you speak in a way you shouldn't be speaking, your heart's going to reveal where you stand, because you're not going to feel good about that. The difference between a growing believer and a stagnant believer is not perfection, it's repentance. When we fail, you don't stay down. Confess. You receive our Creator's forgiveness and you continue walking with Him. That's what we have to understand. Nothing's going to take us off this path, and the enemy's going to try. Remember, it's not about perfection. We know what we're called to do. Proverbs 24 verse 16 says, For though righteousness falls seven times, he rises up again. But the wicked stumble in calamity. Notice that the righteous person falls, but he gets back up. It says in Ephesians, there's a battle going on every single day for our soul. And the enemy wants believers to stay discouraged. Our Creator says stay encouraged. Our Creator calls us to understand repentance and being renewed in obedience. Failure should become a lesson, not a destination. We have the opportunity to do better. We have the opportunity to continue growing. And it's through these times that we make a mistake or we mess up or we fail. That's a growing opportunity, an opportunity for growth if we take advantage of that. 1 John verses 1 to 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You get that? Our Creator doesn't reject those who've messed up and sincerely repented. His desire is to restore us, and repentance should become a regular part of our walk with Him. Today, the church has made certain words a curse word or an idea like repentance. But it's all over the scriptures. But we need the help to change our character and become like more like Yeshua. We need the help of the Ruach HaKodesh, the set-apart spirit. And He's working in us to help us, to strengthen us to obey, to convict us when we don't obey, to comfort us when we struggle, and to shape us to be more like Messiah. Romans 8:13-14 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of Yahweh are sons of daughter and daughters of Yahweh." Victory comes through surrender every day. You have a choice, your flesh or your spirit. The spiritual growth is impossible from the power of Yahweh. We must follow the Spirit. We get to examine ourselves on a regular basis and see our actions and see what's happening in our lives. And remember, our daily goal should be more to be like Yeshua. That should be the goal we strive for. A life that glorifies our Creator, our kindness, our humility, our integrity, our faithfulness, and our love. That's what people are going to remember. They're not going to remember your, "Oh, he was a perfect Bible student who knows the scriptures so well." No, they're going to remember your character. So don't measure your life by how much you've learned this year in terms of scripture or how many times you went to church. But remember, the mark of the true growth. And also remember where it all begins. Your witness begins at home with your close ones, your neighbors, and your close friends. The gospel shouldn't be something we just proclaim. It should be something we live. And people should know that in our lives. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, thank you. May you bless the lives of everyone that's listening here today to become more like Yahshua. Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom, brothers and sisters.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministry. Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts, while developing Christ-like leaders for today and in the future. For more information about Morningside Academy, call 772-335-3231.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.
So you're pregnant, and suddenly your whole life changed. You want to be joyful, but you're also afraid and anxious. How do you deal with this? Where do you go for help? CareNet Pregnancy Services of the Treasure Coast is here for you. We give compassionate counsel, helpful education and referrals so that you can make the best decision. There is no charge for our confidential services, and we will ensure that you enjoy security and strong support from the CareNet family. Reach out to us today at 772-828-3168.